application on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change, and that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear friends, salamu alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic to talk about is hardened hearts. Let's see what date is today. Today, Thursday, is the 20th of Zilqa'dah, 1442 of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of the month of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Al-Hadid, verse 16, we'll listen to.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ
Has the time not come for those who have believed that their hearts should become humbly submissive at the remembrance of Allah and what has come down of the truth? And let them not be like those who were given the scripture before, and a long period passed over them, so their hearts hardened, and many of them are defiantly disobedient.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is crystal clear that when man remembers God Almighty in the bottom of his heart, listens to the blessed verses revealed unto the noble prophet, and befittingly reflects upon the same, his heart must be softened and humbled. However, some believers are harshly criticizing the blessed verse in question by asking why their hearts are not humbled by such things, but they, like many former nations, have plunged into neglect and negligence. Such neglect leads to the hardening of hearts, which in turn ends in disobedience to Allah the Almighty.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
It is narrated from Jesus, peace be upon him, that is incumbent upon the believers not to speak for long without remembrance of Allah the Almighty. Otherwise, it leads to hardening of hearts, and hardened hearts are remote from Allah Almighty. Prophet Muhammad informed us in a very famous tradition commonly quoted with reference to halal and haram about the importance of the heart. He said, "There is in the body a clump of flesh. If it becomes good, the whole body becomes good. And if it becomes bad, the whole body becomes bad. And indeed, it is the heart." He said that after explaining that the halal is clear and that the haram is clear, and that between them are obscure areas not known to most people. However, what protects the person from the haram and ensures that he remains in the halal is knowledge. But beyond knowledge, it is the state of the heart. If the heart is good, then it makes use of the knowledge and it avoids what is prohibited. If the heart is bad, then the knowledge is of no benefit to it and it will indulge in what is prohibited.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about ruthlessness or being hard-hearted. It's important to note that those people who attack other people who are really very ruthless and hard-hearted may justify it for themselves that since they want to enjoy more power and to be more powerful, and since sometimes they may justify that since we want to to direct other people to the world and to the paradise of civilization, we may have all sorts of rights to attack other people. No, it isn't the case. Okay? The point is that, okay, first of all, they are devoid of any rationality. This is one point. Another one is that they are devoid of any sense of sympathy with other human beings. What would be the sins of, for example, a hungry African children, okay, to starve from not receiving adequate food, while Africa is a really very rich continent in the world. Okay, I've been to Africa a couple of times, and I noticed over there that some people are really very poor over there. Despite that they are very poor, I noticed that many Europeans and mainly many British and Americans had very luxury life over there. I mean, in some African countries. If you go to, for example, if you go to India, you find that some people still live in some, poor tents. I mean, under poor tents. Okay. While at the same time, you find that the British and other superpowers have come to India and they have taken almost everything from India, and they have looted the whole country.
The Signs of a Heartened Heart. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Untouched by Allah's verse, unmoved by various natural occurrences and phenomena such as death, sickness, disaster, and the likes, whereas those phenomena clue us in Allah's ultimate power and authority over all of His creations. We see death, or a deceased being carried out to his or her grave, as something casual, meaningless, while it is said that death is enough to admonish the living. Look at Allah's decree, which means, do they not see that they are tried every year once or twice, yet they neither repent nor take heed? In chapter At-Tawbah, verse 126.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Dear friend, in this part, we get familiar with one way to soften a hard heart. Cultivate humility. I think the biggest roadblock that most Muslims have today in seeing their hardened hearts change is the fact that they have convinced themselves that they are doing okay. They look around and compare themselves to each other, and as long as nobody is outwardly doing the major sins, they think that they have arrived. There is a considerable pride problem in the Muslim community today. We have to come to the point that we once again see our need to tear down the idols that we have allowed to rise up in our hearts and lives.
would like to look at this particular area by examining what the Quran says in Surah Al-Baqarah through asking this question: how do we ensure that we do not stoop to the level where the Quran speaks at, that God forbid we suffer from qaswatul qalb? Yes? And what are the main things to do to soften the hearts? The Quran says, فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةَ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةَ. And then says, but there are three other types. The hijara, the stone, the rock, has three distinct levels of response. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ. Says, يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءِ. That from the rocks or the stone, there are some in which water can flow in between. So it allows some kind of water to pass through it. It is not that stubborn. Yes? And then says, وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَّا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءِ. But even more, there are some of these stones, even though they are so hard, the water keeps knocking until they split and allow the water to pass through. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَّا يَحْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. There are those of the stones that fall due to the fear and the awe from the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is saying that even this creation of God, this rock, is susceptible to what? To being what? Softer. Is one that can go through what? These particular phases. Yet those who are suffering from the condition that their hearts are worse and are harder than a stone, they are truly what? On the path towards damnation and what? And punishment from the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala.
As you listen to, we talked about hardened hearts on today's special. Inshallah, we decide to continue to talk about this topic, so please be with us on the next episode of today's special. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is an interesting saying from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Raza, peace be upon him. This world is a prison for a true believer, and a paradise for the unbeliever.
Thank you. This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. A mu'min or a believer, a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously the peak of the mu'mineen and so-called the Sayyid of all the mu'mineens, that leader of all the mu'mineen, all the believers, being the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being right at the tip and right at the peak of Iman, or of the mountain of belief, no one can touch him, not even the Imams. It's because of the belief of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Imams alayhim salam are a manifestation of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But a believer like me and you, inshallah, we are believers. You know, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in the Day of Judgment, we believe in the prophethood of the Holy Prophet, and then obviously the Imams that have came after him, divinely appointed. There is a particular type, or rather two particular types of fear that should enable us to become better people. And it enables us to reform. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in this tradition is very specific about these two types of fears. And in the books of ethics and in the books of mysticism, these two are mentioned as well. So the Imam alayhi salam is reported to have said that the believer lies between two fears. Right? So he's in the middle in his current state, and there are two types of fears that he is afraid of. Fear of the sin that he has committed in the past and does not know what action Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken with regards to it. We do not know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us our sins. We can ask for forgiveness, but this acceptance is not something that I can guarantee. I cannot say, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. I do not know that. I cannot say that. So I lie in fear that maybe with the stuff that I did previously, you know, I am not worthy of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fear for the remainder of his life in which he does not know what destructive sins he may commit. I do not know what the future holds for me. I do not know whether I will remain a Muslim. I do not know whether I will remain a mu'min. I do not know whether I will remain on the straight path. I don't. Therefore, he always wakes up in the morning fearful. And it is only this fear that reforms him. That those sins that I performed in the past, I will not perform now. And that which comes in front of me, I will try and keep myself away from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn from these two fears and to accept our forgiveness and to continue to make us ask for forgiveness and istighfar. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. And at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. In the first part of today's program, we are going to listen to the recitation of verses 1 to 19 of Surah At-Takwir, recited by Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar. Dear audience, let's listen to it, preceded by its English translation.
In the name of Allah,
the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. When the sun is wound up and overthrown, and when the stars shall fall, and when the mountains shall be made to pass away, and when the pregnant she-camels shall be neglected, and when the wild beasts shall be gathered together, and when the seas shall become as blazing fire or shall overflow, and when the souls shall be joined with their bodies, and when the female buried alive shall be questioned for what sin she was killed, and when the written pages of deeds of every person shall be laid open, and when the heaven shall be stripped off and taken away from its place, and when hellfire shall be kindled to fierce blaze, and when paradise shall be brought near, every person will know what he has brought forth. So verily I swear by the planets that recede, and by the planets that move swiftly and hide themselves, and by the night as it departs, and by the dawn as it brightens, verily this is the word conveyed by a most honorable messenger.
وإذا الجبال سيرت وإذا العشار عطلت وإذا الوحوش حشرت وإذا البحار سجرت وإذا
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program, Let's Recite the Quran. And you just listened to the recitation of verses 1 to 19 of Surah At-Takwir, recited by Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Ambar. Brother Muhammad, Let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a very difficult surah for Quran recitation because of the last part of the verses where there is a ta sakin at the end. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ. We have to pronounce the ta softly, without aspiration.
And without ghalghala.
Without ghalghala, exactly. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. We have this ta. And Sheikh Shahat, he pronounces all of the ta's correctly. When you want to connect the word that has the ta sakin at the end to the next word, there is a trick that you can use to pronounce the ta more easily. You should do ikhtilas. The sound, some of the sound of the ta should go to the next word. Like this. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. See? وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ.
In case it is sakin, actually.
Yes.
The ta is sakin.
For all sakin letters, you have to do this, but for ta and kaf, especially, you have to pay attention to this, and you have to do it properly. There should be no sect between the pronunciation of the ta sakin or kaf sakin. You shouldn't say, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا. See?
Yes.
It should be connected, consecutive. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا. See the ta flows into the next letter.
The solution is ikhtilas, as you say.
This is ikhtilas. Ikhtilas means stealing something. Okay, so the letter that's after the ta sakina should steal the sound a little bit.
The timing of the sound.
Not the timing. The timing is not affected.
So what is it? So what is it stealing?
The sound. Some of it. Some of the sound of the ta goes into the next. We have this for all sakin letters. And it's nothing to do with the timing, okay? The timing remains the same. It's a letter of shadda and has the shortest timing. But this ikhtilas assimilates our recitation. For example, وَإِذَلْ جِبَالُ وَإِذَلْ جِبَالُ. This is, again, we have some ikhtilas, but it's not very noticeable.
Of the lamb of Jibal and
Jibal. The lamb goes into the jim. It happens so quickly. وَإِذَلْ Jibal. We don't say وَإِذَلْ Jibal.
Yeah, the point is that we don't need to actually pause.
No pause.
That's right.
And this is especially for ta, kaf, seen, sheen, and some certain letters you have to pay attention that you do this. For example, Islam. Islam. You should not say Islam.
That's right.
Or you should say Alam Nashrah. Not Alam Nashrah. That's incorrect.
Okay, let's talk about some other points, brother.
And in these verses, we have many ra's that are pronounced with tafkhim. Kuwirat. Inkadarat. كَدَرَ رَتْ.
Yes.
وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. The ra in these verses have to be pronounced with tafkhim.
وَإِذَا
الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. with thickness, exactly. Ra, ra. We have a velarization of ra, where the back of the tongue is raised toward the velum. Another thing is that we have shaddas, a lot of shaddas in these verses. And some of them, they require ghunna, because it's noon or meem, which is mushaddad. For example, وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ, the noon has ghunna.
Because it is, has a tajdeed, actually.
Because of the shadda. Or سُيِّرَت, the ya has shadda.
Not
but
ghunna.
But no ghunna. Mm-hmm. The ghunna is only for noon and meem.
Mm-hmm.
عُطِّلَت, the qa has shadda.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
We've been discussing some hadith about the significance of the Quran. The hadith we have been discussing are selected from Al-Kafi, the section called Kitabu Fadl al-Quran, about the merits of the Quran. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam quotes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the way a carrier of the Quran is supposed to be. وَإِنَّ أَحَقَّ النَّاسِ فِي السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَانِيَةِ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّوْمِ لَحَامِلُ الْقُرْآنِ. The people who are expected to have the best relation with fasting and prayer is حَامِلُ الْقُرْآنِ. Don't say every day I recite, you know, 1 hour, you know, Quran with tajweed and everything, so it's enough. Actually, you have to be more appreciative of salat and fasting. Then Rasulullah nada thumma nada bi'a'la sawtih. Rasulullah somehow, like, you know, cried out. He said, Ya hamil al-Qur'an, O the one who carries the Qur'an, tawadha' bihi yarfa'kallah. Try to be humble because of the Quran. Allah will raise you. You shouldn't raise yourself. Let Allah raise you. This is the nature of this world. If you want to raise yourself, you will be pushed down. If you are humble, you will be raised. Okay? So Rasulullah said, Tawadha' bihi. Because of the Quran, try to be humble. Yarfa'ka Allah. Wala ta'azzaz bihi. Don't try to promote yourself and elevate yourself and raise yourself because of the Quran. Because then, فَيُذِلَّكَ اللَّهِ. Then Allah will bring you down. Allah will take your honor away from you.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali. And that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab, Call of Islam, on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نوبنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن. If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you
as she dressed that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away. Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. In this episode, we are going to talk about some of the Islamic laws of miscellaneous nature according to Ayatollah Sistani. Before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzuma Sabzawari and Sharh Ashraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazwini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in Fiqh and Usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Does a woman who lives in an extended family, all right, have any kind of responsibilities or duties toward her in-laws? Some people are under this kind of impression that they need to serve everyone as long as they are married, like to, for example, a whole clan or family or something like that.
Well, expectations are too high when a bride goes into another family. Everyone expects her to, let's say, render services, to do some chores and to be available for everyone. That's not the case, you know. And of course, Muslim families need to somehow change their attitude and belief.
Mentality
towards the bride and the bride's responsibility. A bride's responsibility is only exclusive and specific to the husband.
Yes.
She has to be available for her husband only.
she has to submit herself to her husband, and she has to fulfill her conjugal rights and matrimonial obligations, which are reserved and preserved for the husband.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the wife has no responsibility whatsoever towards her in-laws, towards her father-in-law, her mm-hmm. mother-in-law, and her husband's siblings, you know. And she is not supposed to do washing up, cooking, cleaning the house. And, of course, she has the right to ask her husband to provide her with a separate accommodation.
Yes.
So that she should have her privacy.
I see.
And she should have the calm and comfort that she needs, you know. In an extended family, of course, the wife has to observe hijab because there are cousins, uncles, nephews, and everyone else are there.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going in, coming out. So it becomes a kind of unbearable situation for the woman to keep wearing dresses even in the hot season, and to provide them with food and drink and to cook for them. Mm-hmm. That's not her responsibility. And of course, everyone has to do her own task of cooking food, and there should be an arrangement for that, you know, and an understanding. Yes, of course, if the wife wants to do this on her own accord, on her own, willingness,
mm-hmm.
and she is willing to do this,
yes,
to sacrifice herself for the whole family, there's no objection. Morally speaking, it's good for the wife to wash the clothes and to wash her husband's clothes and to cook for her husband, because her husband.
And if she does that, it's out of her favor, right?
Yeah, she's doing favor to her husband and to her husband's family. Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise they cannot punish the wife for not doing this. You see, so. Generally speaking, the wife has no responsibility, no duty to fulfill towards the in-laws. And, of course, there are some mutual and reciprocal obligations. As long as one party to the marriage fulfills his or her obligation, the other party is also supposed to fulfill and carry out his or her obligation.
Yes.
For example, the wife... The husband has to provide his wife with food, clothing, and medical expenses. This is his. And of course, the wife at the same time is supposed not to leave her husband's house without prior permission from her husband, because this is a right which her husband has on his wife. You know, she cannot leave her husband's house without permission of her husband. This is number one, okay? And she must be available for her husband, you know, must be available for her husband in terms of, you know, sexual pleasure, conjugal rights, and physical intimacy, you know. This is the right of the husband. And, of course, the wife also has similar rights. For example,
mm-hmm.
If it is feared that the wife might fall into a sin because of the husband not having a physical relationship with his wife, then it is obligatory for the husband to have physical intimacy, to have sexual intercourse with his wife, so as to make sure that his wife does not fall into a sin.
Right.
You see? And he has to fulfill his wife's physical needs as well.
I see.
Yeah. And of course, if he cannot do it, if he cannot do it, then he has to either divorce his wife or, take some other actions. For example, if a woman needs the physical relationship and she is in dire need of sexual intercourse, then if the husband is unable to have that sexual intercourse, then of course he can use his hand to stimulate her,
mm-hmm.
to satisfy her, and to make sure that she is satisfied.
I see.
The Office of Ayatollah Sistani is currently providing the following services. 1. Board of Istifta, replying to religious questions. 2. helping the poor, needy, homeless, and those who have suffered losses by earthquakes and floods. 3. Sending books for people who want to understand and learn Islam. 4. Hajj delegation. 5. Sending preachers. Board of Istifta is a link between Ayatollah Sistani and people. It provides them with answers to questions pertaining to religious, ideological, social, and educational matters in accordance with the verdicts and rulings of Ayatollah Sistani. For more information, visit the website of Ayatollah Sistani at www.sistani.org. You can also ask your questions through the following email, english@sistani.org.
The other question is about, some kind of imposed contract of nikah.
Yes.
You know, sometimes there are some high expectations, as you talked about in the last answer to the question. The father or the mother sometimes force their children to get married.
You're right.
All right? For example, in this case, if a father forces his daughter to sign this kind of contract of marriage against her will, all right, is the whole marriage or is the nikah valid, first of all? Or can she disobey her parents or her father? And if she does so, if she disobeys her father, then is she considered a sinner in the eyes of Islamic jurisprudence?
Well, this is a very important question which we need to discuss in detail. First of all, I would like to say that forced marriage is invalid in the first place. Mm-hmm.
So it's completely invalid.
And unfortunately, there are a lot of such incidents taking place in different parts of the Muslim countries,
Less developed countries, especially.
Of course, underdeveloped countries, because they are still, they live with their own custom and the mindset has not changed, even mm-hmm. though Islam continuously and consistently says that there should be no coercion in marriage. But despite that, the parents try to impose their wish and their desire and their will on the poor girl, forcing her to marry someone she doesn't like,
Mm-hmm.
So forced marriage is not allowed, and it is quite within the right of the girl to choose whom to marry and whom not to marry, And the father or the mother of the family can just share their thoughts and give their sincere advice, mm-hmm. okay?
Yes.
Because it's very important to advise the daughter to give your advice to the daughter to tell her about, let's say, about the family of who approaches the
mm-hmm.
for marriage, and it's and as long as the parents give their advice, there's no problem. Then it is up to the girl to choose to marry a particular boy or not to marry,
mm-hmm.
And so the girl